after the rapture, while we're in heaven for 7 years, there are events that happen in heaven with us for 7 years. Then there are events that happen down here on the earth for 7 years. The tribulation is the event that takes place on earth while we are in heaven. It's described in many places throughout the Bible. Now, the tribulation period is going to be Revelation chapter 6 through 18. Revelation chapter 4 is the rapture. We didn't get to look at that last week, but as long as you're reading Revelation, you know chapter 4 is the rapture, then everything that takes place after that, we're in heaven for. Next, Jesus, the Lamb of God, and the Lion of the tribe of Judah, in the book of Revelation, opens up the title deed to the earth and breaks the seven seal judgments. You say, what's that? If you look at the back of most Bibles, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. There's seven. They get that from the book of Revelation. They put the seven binding marks on it. Back then, the way a seven seals worked in a scroll was this way. Now, you got to watch. But they would roll the seal, roll the scroll, then seal it with wax. Then roll it some more, seal it with wax, roll it, and the scroll that Jesus opens is just like that. He opens it, breaks a seal, opens it, breaks a seal. And the whole book of Revelation is Jesus opening the book of seven seals. And those seven seals have, it increases in judgment as it's unfolding, and it increases. Now, if we get a chance, we'll look at that tonight, but that begins, the tribulation begins in Revelation chapter 6. Now, if we're going to look at this period called the tribulation period, the first place I would want to use is where the word is mentioned the first time in your Old Testament. So if you look at Deuteronomy chapter 4, look at verse 30. It says, when thou art in tribulation. Do you see that in your Bible? That's the first time the word tribulation is used in your Bible. You say, why is that important? What's happening in Deuteronomy 4? We just learned about that book in Sunday school on Sunday. This is Moses' first address. To who? Israel. God is saying to Israel, when you are in tribulation. So the first thing your Bible is going to teach you about this seven-year period is it's for Israel. It's not for us. We are the Gentile church, right? We're not Israel. Okay, everybody understand that? Now, that's very important because there are some people that teach we, the church, are going to go halfway through the tribulation and then the rapture happens and all this stuff. It's garbage. That's YouTubers. There's no hope for them. The tribulation period is for Israel. The first reference in your Bible tells you that. Second of all, I put on your lesson here, we looked at Daniel's 70 weeks last year. It's the 70th week of Daniel. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, Daniel, Israel. That's the second reference. This seven-year period is for Israel. Take your Bible and go to Jeremiah chapter 30 and look at verse number 7. Now, this reference is on your sheet there, but I just want to show you this. Jeremiah chapter 30 in the Old Testament there. Jeremiah chapter 30 and look at verse number 7. Jeremiah chapter 30 and look at verse number 7. There's three references in the Old Testament that show that this tribulation period is for Israel. It is God pouring out His wrath on the world for its sin and for Israel. God is punishing Israel for rejecting the Messiah. So, this is for Israel. Look at verse 7. It says here, alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble. That is another name for the tribulation. Jacob had his name changed to what? Israel. So Jacob's trouble or the tribulation period that God says there's never going to be a time like it before or after is for who? Israel. It's the time of Jacob's trouble. Now, that's three references. I wanted to introduce the lesson that way. Now, there's many places. Now, just listen to me for a second. As a matter of fact, where are we going? You can go to Psalm chapter 2, but I need you to listen to me, all right? Many places in the Old Testament picture the rapture and the tribulation. The rapture is pictured in the Old Testament, but the tribulation period we're going to see tonight is many places because it deals with Israel in the Old Testament. For instance, what's the first picture of the rapture in the Old Testament? It's going to be Enoch, when Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. God raptured Enoch and then left Noah here to go through the flood or the judgment of the world. That would be a picture of the tribulation period, right? What would be the second picture of the, you could have Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah. God helped Lot in Genesis 19 get out of that filthy city, and then judgment came. All right, so you could see that as a picture of the removal of the righteous. Okay, I know Lot wasn't a super dude, but then the judgment. The third picture of the rapture and the tribulation could be Joseph, a picture of Jesus in the last part of Genesis, and then the famine, the tribulation period that God helped him bring his family or Israel through. You could see both ways, deliverance and... Then how about this? How about the picture of, what about the picture of David and Goliath? Small, Israel, fighting against the Muslim countries that will come against, and God delivers him. That's a picture of the tribulation. What's another picture in your Bible of the tribulation period? How about the three Hebrew children that get thrown into the fiery furnace, and it's heated seven times hotter? That's a picture of the tribulation period and God helping Israel come out of that fire. How much of your Bible is prophetic? All of it. All of it. You may not understand all of it, but all of your Bible's prophetic. All of your Bible. Now, how about this? Let me just give you a few more. How about the book of Job? No, man, Job is the pattern for suffering in the Bible. How many chapters is in the book of Job? 42. How many months is in the tribulation? 3.5 years? Going to be 42 months of the Great Tribulation, right? 42 chapters. You've got Job, pictures the Jewish saints of the tribulation who will be persecuted. The conversations between Job and his friends reveal truths of the Great Tribulation. Now, we come, you're in Psalms. Psalms, the key word is in the book of Psalms is the word Selah. Selah, which means it deals with prophecy, with the millennium and the tribulation. Next, the book is aimed, all right, at the tribulation and the millennium, and the primary doctrine is the trials of Jacob's trouble. Now, most don't view the book of Psalms this way. The book of Psalms is the most read book of the Bible. It's the book people find easiest. The chapters are short. Their prayers, people come to there, but the book of Psalms is the prayers of the Jews as they're suffering in the tribulation period. It's going to deal with some part of the millennium or some part of the tribulation period in prophecy. Keep on reading Psalms, enjoy it, but you need to know there's so much prophecy in the book of Psalms. You say, what are you talking about? Look at Psalm chapter 2. Look at verse 1. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. That's the rulers of the earth fighting against God. So at the end of the tribulation period, the Antichrist is going to gather all the armies of the world in Jerusalem, from Jerusalem to Megiddo, and then they are actually going to try to fight God. That's prophesied in Psalm chapter 2. Look at verse 3. It says here, and here's what they're saying. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Look what God's response is. Verse 4, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. That's what God thinks about people who think they can kill God. Can you imagine? They're gathering nuclear weapons, missiles, aim them, and they know he's going to be coming out of the sky right there. He's going to be on a horse. He's going to have an army behind him. When you see it, wait for my command, fire, and we're going to kill God. And God is in the heavens going, Really? The foolishness of man. Right when you start reading Psalms, you're introduced to man fighting God at the end of the tribulation period. You're in Psalm 2. Look at Psalm chapter 3. Look at verse 1. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. That's a Jew's prayer during the tribulation period. The whole world is going to be against them. Look at verse 2. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah. That means it's going to be happening during the tribulation or the millennium. Look at verse 3. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of my head. That's about the tribulation period and the suffering of the Jews. Look at chapter 5. Ready? Look at verse 1. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Workers of iniquity in your Bible are the aides of the Antichrist. This is once again, we can pray this prayer now devotionally. Lord, please help me this week. But this is a prophetic picture of the tribulation and the suffering of the Jews. That's chapter 5. I'm only going to cover a few more with you. Go to chapter 6. Ready? Look at verse number 1. O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. Stop. What is the tribulation period for? It's to punish Israel, to finish the transgression. They rejected the Messiah. So part of the Jews are going to be deceived by the Antichrist, and part of the Jews are going to get saved, and they're going to go all over the world preaching the gospel. So you got two sets, saved and lost Jews. These lost Jews are deceived by the Antichrist. So he says here, he says, O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger. What is the tribulation period for? It's to punish Israel. Look at verse 2. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. My soul also is also sore vexed. But thou, O Lord, how long? Well, that's how long is how long during judgment. Here, look at chapter 7. I'm just going to just touch two more places with you, and then we'll dive into the lesson. I'm just trying to show you in the Old Testament, if you know what you're reading, there's pictures of this tribulation period all through it. This is a major teaching. The second coming of Jesus is a big happening. The tribulation period and this time of suffering that we're going to look at tonight, it is so much in your Bible. Ready? Chapter 7, look at verse 1. O Lord my God, in thee do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me and deliver me. That's the Jews. They're being chased like animals. The Antichrist sends armies after them. Lord, please save me. Look at verse 2. Lest he tear my soul like a lion, rending it in pieces while there is none to deliver. Can you pray this prayer when you find out there's people that hate you and want to do away with you? Sure, it can have a personal application. But what's the prophecy of this? It's a Jew praying, Lord, they're chasing me. They're hunting us like animals. It's a prayer during the tribulation. Let's look at one more. Go to chapter 10. Go to chapter 10. This is, you could literally, I'm stopping you. I'm just trying to give you a way of reading your Bible. You should read your Bible personally. What does God want you to get out of it now? But you should also be able to say, what is this pointing to? And what is this a prophecy of? And what has God, and I'm just trying to show you in Psalm. Look at verse 1. Ready? Psalm 10, verse 1. Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? Watch this. The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Anytime you see the wicked in your Bible, it's talking about the Antichrist. Notice how many times the wicked is mentioned. The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. Verse 3. For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and blesseth the covetousness whom the Lord abhorreth. Verse 4. The wicked. There's the Antichrist three times. Look at verse 4. Through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God, God is not in all his thoughts. Does that describe wicked people? Yes. But that is prophecy about what the Antichrist is going to be like in the tribulation period. All right? That's chapter 10. We could literally go all the way through Psalms. Every Psalm, listen closely, the Psalm of Tribulation, the Tribulation Psalm is Psalm 79. The Workers of Iniquity Psalms is Psalm 14 and Psalm 53. The Psalm of the Millennial Reign of the Lord Jesus is Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. When is the Lord our shepherd? Does he watch over us now? Yes. But when will he physically watch over us? In the millennium. That's when he'll lead us by the still waters. Right now it's spiritually. Then it'll be physically. Right? So Psalm 23, Psalm 76, Psalm 95 through 101, those are the millennial pictures of the Lord Jesus. All right, so we've looked at Psalms. Jesus told us, take your Bible and go to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. Jesus told us in the world we would have tribulation. You're going to Matthew 24. But in John 16:33, Jesus said, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. When Jesus said, when I came to this earth to die for your sins, I rose again and I ascended to heaven. Between my ascension and my coming again, you're going to have tribulation. You're going to have suffering and pain and heartache and tragedy because of this sin-cursed world. He was not talking about the tribulation of the 7 years. He was talking about trials that we all go through, losses and the heartaches and the pain. You're going to have tribulation, suffering in between the times of Jesus' coming. The seven-year period is a unique tribulation period that Jesus points to, and now, you're there in Matthew 24, listen to me closely. There's three places when the disciples asked Jesus, what are the signs of thy coming and what's going to be the signs of the end? If you combine Matthew 24 and 25, Mark 13 and Luke 21, if you combine all three of those sets of scripture, you have the longest teaching of Jesus, teaching about what the end is going to be like. And Jesus taught the most on the tribulation period and the warm-up to it. We're going to look at two places tonight. We're not going to look at Mark 13. I'm just trying to show you this seven-year period that happens right after we're raptured. Look what Jesus taught about it. So here we are in Matthew 24. Look at verse 4. Jesus said, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Jesus said, now watch this, from the time of his ascension till the time he comes again, the first thing you're going to notice in the past 2,000 years is that there is more religious deception than there is truth. Most of what calls itself Christian is not Christian. Many. It doesn't say a few. It doesn't say some. It says many will say, I am Christ. If you look at the cults that have been started in the past 2,000 years and all the different heresies through the ages and how the cults have ramped up in the 1800s, Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, Church of Christ, all of that has ramped up. Jesus said this, when you look, the first thing you need to know about the end is that those who profess to know Jesus, there's going to be many of them, but there's going to be many more that are false. That is a hard grasp for people. That is a hard truth for people to grasp, because everybody wants to say, oh, if it's a church, it's good. There's a lot of deception out there. Every church in St. Mary's County is not good. Every church in our county does not teach the Bible. Now, watch this. There's more that don't than do. I think anybody in here with any just looking at things overview would agree with that. And Jesus said that would be the first thing you'll notice in between my ascending to heaven and me coming back. The first trait is deception, religious deception, spiritual deception. Look at the next verse. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. What's the next trait? Disasters and tragedies, and he's going to get into a few more things here as far as, but take the last 2,000 years, it is basically a history of war. I don't care if you want the 100-year war, the peasant war, take the Crusades, take any part. The history of man is one of war, and Jesus said, in between me going to heaven and me coming again, it's going to ramp up. War is not going to stop. Oh, President Trump caused a war with our... No, he didn't. He was protecting America by killing that general. And they should kill a lot more. That's just the Marine in me. I wish they'd videotape it and show it in slow motion. I think that'd be cool. But anyways, in other words, why does... we need to stop war. You cannot stop war. War does not stop until Jesus reigns. And if Jesus tarries, if we do go to war with Iran, this ain't going to be the only time we conflict. There'll be more after that. If not, many more. Everybody understand? So, look here. He said the yet end is not yet. Look at verse 7. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. They said in the past 30 years there have been more earthquakes. An earthquake in Illinois? That just happened like 4 years ago. Nobody had ever heard of an earthquake in Illinois. Earthquakes in diverse places. They said in the past 30 years there's been more earthquakes around the world than there have been in the past 400 years recorded. What's happening? We're watching disasters and turmoil and fighting ramp up in between the ascension to heaven and Jesus coming again. It increases. It increases, and he's going to make mention of that, disease. Who's ever heard of the bird flu? And you know, antibiotics have only been out for 50 years. Okay, maybe 65 years. Antibiotics. What do they say the problem with antibiotics is? As we take antibiotics, the diseases are getting stronger. And they said the superbugs are coming, that the antibiotics can't fight. Well, you say technology's great, I know, but with technology comes the negative, right? So diseases and pestilences is getting worse. It's getting bigger. It's getting bigger. It's not getting smaller. Notice this. All of these. Look at verse 8. Now, I wish. All these are the beginning of sorrows. The word sorrows is in reference to birth pains. And it's probably the biggest escalation. Jesus said it's like the birth of a baby. The contractions start far apart. And as you get closer to the event, the contractions happen more frequently. Jesus said, when you start seeing this, it's the beginning of sorrows, and it's going to get worse, it's not going to decrease. Everybody understand? It's the beginning of sorrows. It's the beginning of travail. That's why your Bible time and your walk with God, you're not going to get any comfort or peace or stability from watching what's going on in the world. It's going to get rockier. I don't know how, I just know it gets worse. And can I tell you something? If you don't have a Bible time where you focus on something that never changes, your Bible, look, tonight we're going to learn, we know how the world ends. We know where it's going. Wait till you see what starts happening to the earth. I think the goofiest talk is global warming. Really? It's a joke? You ain't seen, you mean you're concerned about global warming? Wait till you watch about the global explosion. It's awesome. We're Christians. We know what's going to happen to this earth. And it is ramping up. It is the beginning of travail. It's the beginning of sorrows. And Jesus said, this has been happening for 2,000 years. I put a statement there on your sheet. Everybody see at the bottom there? Everybody see at the bottom down there? I am not worried about the eruption. That's the of the Lamb's wrath and the tribulation. I'm not worried about the tribulation period. Because of the interruption, which is going to be the rapture, right? But I am concerned about the disruption, 2 Timothy 3:1 through 6, this side of the interruption of the rapture, because of all the corruption. You say, let me rephrase that. There's a lot in that statement. I'm not worried about the tribulation period, but when you read your Bible, Jesus said it's going to ramp up, and what you we're watching things take place. We're watching things fall into place for Jesus to come. Well, before he comes, we know there's 7 years of tribulation. I'm not concerned about the tribulation, but what I'm watching ramp up, yeah, I am concerned. Society is getting less and less tolerant of Christianity. I'm glad it's still tolerant. I'm glad we can still go soul winning. But this is not the America we were 30 years ago or 40 years ago. It is getting to be a different climate. So, look at verse 9. Ready? Go back to your, let's go back to your Bible. Verse 9. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. You know what the next trait? So watch this. Jesus said the first trait is going to be religious deception. And things that call itself Christian, there's going to be many more things that are not Christian that call itself than are. The second trait, disasters, disease, tragedies. I remember hearing of an earthquake in Iran. This was, I think, 10 years ago. 40,000 people died in one earthquake. That was amazing to me. I remember hearing that, and I just thought, wow. Third trait is this, persecution of Christians. It's on the increase. Islam is still, they're still butchering Christians, still blowing up churches over in the Middle East, and it is ramping up. Jesus said the past 2,000 years, persecution's always been there. But as we get close to Jesus coming, it's escalating. It's getting more and more. Watch this, verse 11. And many false prophets, here we go again, shall arise and shall deceive many. Better be careful what you listen to on the internet. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Iniquity shall abound. We live in a wicked society. Oh, it's always been this wicked. No, it hasn't. Sin has never been this accessible. Child pornography, the filth, all of that. Before, if people wanted pornography or filth, they went to the... Did you know they can order liquor now? Before, you wanted liquor, you went to the store. You can, I believe, order it on the internet now. They can bring it directly to your house. Pornography, filth... No, it's ramping up and escalating. Iniquity is going to abound, and the love of many shall wax cold. Keep on going. He says here, verse 13, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Now this is talking about once the tribulation period hits. It's not talking about eternal salvation. He's talking about being saved from the suffering and the sin and the tragedy and all that. Watch this. And the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. How is the gospel preached to all generations? 12,000 from 12 tribes of Israel is 144,000 Jews. Revelation 7 and Revelation 14. They're going to go all over the world and preach the gospel all over the earth during the tribulation. Because Jesus said, when the gospel's preached, then shall the end come. Then, keep on reading. Then let them, okay, watch verse 15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Jesus quotes Daniel chapter 9, what we looked at last week. And Daniel chapter 9, in three places, Daniel 9:27, I put it on your paper, 11:31, and Daniel 12, verses 1 and verse 11, Jesus mentions the abomination that maketh desolate. Jesus said, when you see that happen, then you'll know the tribulation is 7 years, 3.5 years of death and war And right in the middle, I put on your paper, the abomination of desolation happens. And Jesus said, when you see that, he said, then you can know the great tribulation has begun. You say, what's the abomination of desolation? If we went to Daniel 9, if we went to Daniel 11, we'd see how it was prophesied of Antiochus Epiphanes. He would come into the temple, angry at the Jews, slaughters a hog. Pigs are unclean, right, to Jews? Slaughters a hog in the temple, takes the priests, makes them eat pork, pokes it down their throat. Then he takes an image of himself and puts it on the altar and declares himself God to be worshipped. What's that a picture of? That's just what the Antichrist is going to do in the tribulation. He's going to take an image of himself. He's going to put it on the altar. You say, Jesus said, when you see that happen, keep in mind, we're in heaven. He said, and he's talking to the Jews. He'll say, when it's really going to get tough, there's one marker you look for. The abomination that maketh desolate. When the Antichrist declares himself as God to be worshipped. Keep your finger there in Matthew and go to 2 Thessalonians. Go to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Look at verse 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And look at verse 3. If you want a picture of what the abomination of desolation is, abomination is a blasphemy. Desolation means when the Antichrist determines there'll be nothing left of Israel. And he starts hunting them like animals. Jesus said, that time that Daniel spoke about, when you see that happen, for the Jews, they can know it's getting ready to get rougher than it has ever been in the history of mankind. What is this abomination that we're talking about? Look at verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away or an apostasy first, and that man of sin, there's the Antichrist, be revealed, the son of perdition. So there's your Antichrist, right? Look at verse 4. What does he do? Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That is the abomination that maketh desolate. And just like in the 3rd century BC when Antiochus Epiphanes put his statue in the temple and declared himself, everybody worship me, I want Judaism destroyed, the abomination that makes desolate, that was a picture or prophecy of when the Antichrist is going to put his statue in the temple. And then he's going to declare himself God, will be in heaven, but all the Jews that are down there in Jerusalem are going to be told, you worship me or I kill you on the spot. That's the abomination that makes desolate. There, you're in Matthew chapter 24. We're looking at the tribulation period and what Jesus said about it. Now look at Matthew 24, look at verse 16. When you see the abomination of desolation in verse 15, then verse 16, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. He said, then run. That's Jesus saying, when you see that happen, run! Watch this. Let them which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes, and woe unto them that are with child, and them that give suck in those days. But pray thee that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day, for then shall be, here we go, great tribulation. Watch what Jesus said about the last 3.5 years of the tribulation. He's not talking about the 7 years, he's talking about when that abomination takes place. Then the great tribulation happens, and notice this. It says, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake or Israel's sake, those days shall be shortened. God said, if I didn't come back these days, these next 3.5 years that we're in heaven with, he said, it'd be so bad, it'd kill everybody if I didn't come back. The judgments are that severe. Keep on reading. Watch this. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. Here's the religious deception again. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show signs, great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Does everybody understand? From the time Jesus went to heaven to the time he comes back, he said there'll always be religious deception, but it is going to climax and reach its height right before he comes in the great tribulation. You think it's bad now? It's going to get worse. There's going to be more false churches. There's going to be more false Bibles. There's going to be more. You ought to praise God. God led you to an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist church. Amen? Praise God, I get to see the truth. There's churches that don't care what the Bible says. It doesn't. If you remove the Bible from that church, it would stay the same. It doesn't have anything to do with it. It's all pep talk stuff. You know, that and rock concerts. Now take your Bible. Go to Luke 21. Go to Luke 21. If you go through the verses of this Bible study, let me just give you a few. When you look up the day of vengeance, and you look what God says he's going to do, and he said, I'm going to kill everybody. I'm going to give earthquakes that there has never been before. The Bible says during the tribulation period, we're in heaven, people will be building caves and bunkers thinking, yeah, we're safe. There's coming an earthquake that's going to, God says, they'll be in it praying, dear God, let the caves fall in on us because we don't want to face the wrath of the Lamb. What they built to get away from, they're going to be praying caves in. When you start looking at this period of tribulation and then the great tribulation, the last 3.5 years, there is no time like it. It's the most dramatic time in your Bible. Amen? Makes you praise God you're saved. But the more you learn about the future and what this world has, shouldn't it give you a passion to get people saved? Shouldn't you want to tell somebody, flee from the wrath to come? You don't want the rapture to happen and you get left behind. You need to get saved so you're not left here when all hell breaks loose. You need to get saved. The more you learn about prophecy and the more you learn about what's coming, and as we see things ramping up, it should stir your heart. I was teaching on, you know, my pastor taught me a lot when I got saved, and I was in my shop, and I told you this story before, but, you know, in the Marine Corps, you got to look indispensable, so you got to rub a phone, so I had a, you know, one of those. You all know what a phone is that you hang up? You even know what those are? So I remember rubbing, you know, I'd put one on my lap and, you know, you grab a cloth and you'd rub it like this. And I was reading my Bible. And there was 13 guys in our shop. And one of them said, hey, Nash, what you reading? I said, Revelation. He said, oh, Revelation. Oh, that's spooky. Oh, what's going to happen in Revelation? So I started telling him. I said, well, there's four horsemen, death, famine, war. I said, then this is going to start taking place. Then God pours out his judgments, and then the sun scorches the earth, and boils break out, and then God lets those demons that are chained in the earth release out, and they start stinging men, and God doesn't allow them to die, and they're tormented. And I just went through the whole thing. It was as quiet in there as it is now. Staff sergeant came in and said, okay, lunch, everybody be back in an hour. Everybody gets up. Nobody's talking. They asked me a question. I think I'd only been saved like 7 months, right? They all got up and walked out, and I'll never forget it. Big Marine walked over to me. He goes, hey, how can I miss all that stuff? And I got to lead him to the Lord 1 week. That was 1 week before he got out of the Corps. He never went partying again. But me talking about the book of Revelation and what was coming and how you could miss it stirred his heart. He didn't know what he was asking. He didn't say, could you save me or could you show me how to get saved? He didn't know that. He was just like, how do I miss that? That's horrible. Oh, well, here you have to place your faith in Jesus. And if you'll do that, then when the rapture happens, poof, we're out of here. And then the hell breaks loose. He goes, oh, as you learn about the prophecy and what's happening in the future, it should stir your heart. Do you think of anybody that's going to be left behind? Who comes to your mind right now? Who are you hoping that's saved? Do you see what prophecy should do to you? We can learn all about this, and I'll point things out to you. I can take you in the Bible. But it's supposed to stir us to give the gospel. Because the rapture could happen when? Tonight. Couldn't it? then we're up, we're in heaven for the next 7 years. And then all of this ramps up and it takes place, the abomination, and then the release of the demons, and everything takes... Hollywood can't touch the horror. I think they're conditioning society with the zombie talk. I think it's conditioning the world. Went into Dick's Sporting Goods 2 years ago and saw zombie loads in the ammunition section. I said, really? I mean, they really sell zombie loads. They're conditioning people as if that's real. What's happening to our society? All these filthy demonic movies, The It and The Joker and all this garbage, they're conditioning society and they can't touch the horror that's getting ready to happen when the tribulation opens up. I'm so glad I'm saved. Amen? I'm glad I'm saved. You're in Luke 21. You know what? Look at verse 5. And as some spake of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts, he said, as for these things which ye behold, the day will come in which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. When Titus came through in 70 AD, Caesar gave the command to level the city and leave one wall standing. That's the Wailing Wall you see. Everything else you see in Jerusalem that's been built was built in the 1200s and 1300s by Islam. If you travel to Jerusalem today, and they'll say, this is the road that Jesus, the Appian Way, that he walked on the way to the cross. Garbage. It's about 10 to 20 feet below that. The city's been rebuilt. Where Jesus walked has been leveled. And there's only one wall left standing. They said, leave it as a wall. Leave it as a testimony to the power of Rome. And that's the wall that the Jews put their papers in, that they stand there and scream at. That's the only thing that was left standing. Jesus said, do you see this whole city? He said, they're going to melt the stones down to get the gold out of it. He said, not one stone will be left standing on another. He was talking about 70 AD. Here we go. Keep on going. And they asked him, verse 7, saying, Master, when shall these things be? And what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? And he said, here we go again. He's going to, if you combine Luke 21 and Matthew 24 and 25 and Mark 13, you get a very clear picture of what the ramp up towards the second coming of Jesus is and the tribulation. Let's read just a little bit and then we'll shut it down. Take heed that ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. There's many things that called itself Christian that you're not supposed to have anything to do with. It's been that way for 2,000 years and it's getting worse. Verse number 9. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. You know what he's saying? It's going to be a time from the time I go to heaven till the time I come. He said, it's not yet, it has to ramp up. It has to increase. Keep on going. Verse 10, then he said unto them, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in diverse places, and famines, and pestilence, and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you. Remember what I told you? The deception, religious deception. Then the terror and the earthquakes and the wars. Then what? Persecution. Right? Those three things. Keep on going. He said, but before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake, and it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts not to meditate before what ye shall answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist, and ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolk and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. The past 2,000 years, over 80 million people have been put to death, burned at the stake, banished, beaten, burned, all of that. 80 million. That's the past 2,000 years of history. And some of you shall they cause to be put to death. Watch this. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but there shall not a hair of your head perish. He's talking spiritually. You're saved. You're protected. In your patience possess ye your souls. Watch this. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation or the final and complete desecration of Jerusalem is nigh. Are we seeing Jerusalem compassed about with armies now? And it's getting worse, isn't it? They've said that land's ours, and Allah has told us to exterminate the Jews. That's what Iran, Iraq, Saudi Arabia, all of them are saying. We're going to push them into the ocean. When you see them, when you see Jerusalem encircled, okay, then know that the desolation is nigh. Watch this. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains. That desolation is in reference to the abomination of desolation spoken of in Matthew. So, are we watching things ramp up? Yes. Has the abomination of desolation taken place yet? No, it hasn't. But it's getting close. That's how we say Jesus is coming. And we should be excited about it. We already know what's going to happen. I wish I could take you through more. Let's pray. Father, thank you for, Lord, as you tell us what's going to happen. And you said you're the only one that knows the future. You're the only one that can tell us what's going to happen.